Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The early line rolls on. Sports Grid Hour number 2 on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Appreciate everybody tuning in with us here. Want to start with some of the injury news around the NBA because there's a lot, and it's really all important stuff right now. I want to start with the Devin Booker news, Donnie. Devin Booker is going to, very likely, they've said, miss games 3 and 4 for the Phoenix Suns. This series is 1-1, and it now seemingly that for some people believe Devin is their best player, and obviously him and Chris Paul very close, is not going to play any of the games in New Orleans. The number right now is Phoenix laying 1.5 on the road. Your reaction and your level of concern around Devin Booker's injury status?
I'm concerned here, but again, the length of the NBA playoffs usually works to your advantage because the longer you go, the more time it takes, and you're typically not playing back-to-backs or even every other night. You have a couple games off in between. But the injuries here, when they start to pile up, they don't turn off, Kevin, right? It's not like, okay, good. We used our one injury up on Devin Booker. Let's hope he comes back healthy. We don't have to worry about anybody else. Because you know why? If Devin Booker doesn't play, what's he take up, Kevin? 35, 36, 37, maybe even more minutes a night in the playoffs? That's other people having to step up and certainly get more of a usage rate, which could lead your team to break down and have other injuries. But outside of that, Kevin, we're talking about a hamstring injury. And if anybody's ever known me or followed me on social media, the one injury that athletes never know how to react to is a hamstring. Don't always say, oh, man, no big deal, man. I cramped up a little bit in the game. Yeah, he missed 4 weeks of an NFL season because his hamstring cramped up in the third quarter. The fact of the matter is you never know when it's going to pop back. You don't know that it's going to be tested until you get into the game and say, hey, feels good pregame here. But, oh, no, man, I got to play defense against the best players in the world. I got to run and jump like a gazelle out here. Wow, my hamstring is really starting to tighten up again. And also keep in mind, these guys, Devin Booker-esque athletes, they are perfectionists here. They go out and get a workout in 2 to 3 hours, shooting thousands of jump shots and running up and down the court. You can't do that with a hamstring injury. You just have to rest it. So we're led to believe here that Devin Booker is going to sit and not jog or run for a week and a half to 2 weeks and then just pick up and say, I'm an all-NBA player. Watch me shine on the court. That's not going to happen. The good thing for them is they are the one seed. They're supposed to put away the eighth seed. It might take an extra game or two now, but you should have the ability to rest Devin Booker until he is ready to come back. My level of, you know, antsiness here for Phoenix getting knocked out against New Orleans, it's not really that high. It doesn't help, but I do think Devin Booker will be back. But also, worst case scenarios, Kevin, you rush him back a little bit too early, you lose him for another 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think the concern level should be very high in Phoenix. We're seeing it impact the longer futures markets. They're now a plus 320 number to win the title. That front number was a 2. They're now plus 160 to win the West. That is only just a tad better than Golden State's plus 170 right now. These things are neck and neck. And here's the thing. When you look through the resume that this team has put forward in 14 played without Devin Booker, there's a couple of wins on there. All right, that's solid. You know, they beat up on a Boston team early season, maybe before the Celtics turned the corner. There's some losses in there that you scratch your head over a little bit, and right, they're certainly discouraging. I remember the one game they played against Golden State. They were absolutely smashed. That's the longer outlook. There's two pieces of this, though, that I think really kind of emphasize the level of concern. Our radio audience is here on a Thursday morning. Appreciate everybody tuning in across the Sports Grid landscape. Sirius XM, Channel 159, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here talking about some of the key injury news in the NBA. I don't think that the Suns can't ever win a game without Devin Booker. But now I'm expecting New Orleans to take one of the next two. So now we're 2-2 through four. And I think there's a very real chance that we get to, say, a game seven in this series. I really believe that. And here is the big problem. I don't think Devin Booker's back this series. You have to try and read the tea leaves when it comes to injury news in the playoffs way more than in the regular season. Donnie, Luka Doncic was listed as questionable until 2 hours from tip before game one and game two, despite the fact that we kind of knew it wasn't really going to happen. For Woj to come right out and be like, yeah, look, next two, he's toast. We'll let you know what goes beyond that, is a very bad sign for how Devin Booker is holding up here again. Because, Donnie, the long-term outlook I know is bleak, but I'm more concerned about this series than I was anticipating right now. I want to make sure we hit another piece of this puzzle here. The Ben Simmons return. It seems like it is going to be game four in Brooklyn. The dream for the Nets is obviously that you are 2-1 and not 3-0 in that series. But my consistent stance is, how do you know what to expect from Ben Simmons? It's not just someone returning from injury. It's someone who's not played basketball in a year for a team that he's never played for in the biggest game of their season. Donnie, my expectations for Ben Simmons as someone who's way higher on Ben than most is next to zero. How can you expect anything from him in this spot?
Yeah, tinkering with your lineup at the absolute worst time, being down 0-2 in a series. You're just going to put him out there and say, Ben, we need 25 minutes out of you. And, oh, yeah, shoot a couple three-point shots, get to the free throw line like you've been playing basketball this entire season. This is an oddity for the Brooklyn Nets coming up here. They would rather have Ben Simmons in the lineup than not. But when does he come back, and does it even matter?
And, again, what are we talking here, 15 minutes, 20 minutes? Yeah. Can we climb it up to 25? Just so many questions around that situation. We pause the NBA, we go to Major League Baseball. Ohtani, that MVP, might have a date with destiny.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports Grid Show. Hey, Ohtani with a dazzler last night. 12 strikeouts. I posed the question, Donnie, the last time we saw Ohtani, of what happens to his MVP case if he's not all that good at pitching. I'm not sure I'll ask that question again. Six innings of one-hit baseball versus the Houston Astros, one walk, 12 strikeouts, and Ohtani is starting to heat up at the dish, by the way. Had a couple of hits in and a couple of RBIs in this game. I get it. We're 13 games in. Donnie, this is his award to lose. It really is. There's no one that can match what he's doing. It's too unique.
You're right. And here's the fun part about this, because we're waiting for Shohei Ohtani. Pitches well on the mound last night. You say, okay, if you remember the question we were asking last week, like who blinks first? Like who's going to actually move off of that plus 350 or so, which I believe Ohtani was tied with Vladdy Jr. there. So now we see today, obviously that move was Shohei Ohtani. Plus 260 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the MVP in the 2022 season. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. sits at a plus 360 price. But here's the best part about this argument for Ohtani. When we were saying before the season opened up, Kevin, what's it going to take for Shohei Ohtani? How can he improve on being a dominant pitcher and a dominant hitter? So now you're seeing him early in the season, which it wasn't the case last year, where he was performing well. You see him with the lead. So after yesterday, you see the strikeouts. Okay, this is fantastic. But what if I would tell you right now, he's increasing his lead in the MVP race and having an ERA 37th best in Major League Baseball by hitting around 220 right now. And we're saying he's the best player in baseball. Can you imagine when Ohtani actually turns it on and the statistics back them up? So if you're looking for Shohei Ohtani to win the MVP award and go back-to-back, this is the best start you can ever have. he's increasing his lead with doing pedestrian things here so far from a total standpoint throughout this Major League Baseball season in April. Can you imagine when you start to see the numbers pile up where his winning record goes from 1-2 and goes to, let's just say, 7-2? His ERA goes from 4.40 to down to a 3.40, and he starts knocking baseballs out of the park consistently. It's a great sign if you think Ohtani can win MVP, because from this start, him gaining a lead, just wait till the guy actually starts playing some real baseball, and you'll see this lead increase.
Yeah, it's so impressive. Again, like this Astros lineup, I know they're, you know, missing some pieces, and it's maybe not the, you know, what the group that it once was. I mean, 12 strikeouts of one-hit baseball in Houston. I mean, that is just incredible stuff there. And you know he will, as Donnie's saying here, continue to deliver at the plate. And that's why it feels like it's going to be hard to make arguments for anybody that's not Ohtani, because the arguments don't stack up. We're not talking about the, you know what I mean? Like, you get into a great debate with somebody and then you play the, yeah, he's going to be fifth in strikeouts in all of Major League Baseball. You're like, all right, I got nothing for you. You win. Like, that's just kind of what we're looking at here with Shohei. Another Donnie note around some history in baseball. Miguel Cabrera closing in on hit 3,000. Actually had a chance at the dish last night to get it. It would have required a 4-for-4 night. So he'll have to settle with 3-for-4 and a chance at bringing that in today. I have to tell you, they run through the resume of a Miguel Cabrera as that game's going on. And it's just kind of a reminder that, I mean, this really is one of the best hitters of all time. Should be a no-problem first ballot Hall of Famer. 3,000 hits, 500 home runs. When it's all said and done, a couple of MVPs, a triple crown winner. Like, I mean, this guy's really done it all, man.
He has really done it all. And you're talking about for a period of time, one of those guys in Major League Baseball, if you're just a fan of the game, handicapper or better, and you said, okay, the Detroit Tigers are my game tonight, or I'm going to take a team total to the over, and you got him up, one out, men on second and third, you could just turn that TV off and know that either A, he's getting on base, B, driving it into the gap, or C, dropping a three-run blast. He is that good at the plate here. And this is also sometimes we talk about Kevin, the DH in Major League Baseball. It's fantastic for him. Same thing with Albert Pujols. Some of these legends of the game that still have enough in the tank to put together good at-bats are still able to play and be effective in Major League Baseball. One of the all-time greatest hitters. And if I could take another shot here at the Florida/Miami Marlins, wouldn't it be nice if you just kept your original players around for quite longer than just selling them off for pieces? Wouldn't it be nice for Miggy to get his 3,000th hit alongside like Giancarlo Stanton, Christian Yelich, you know, Marcelo Ozuna, and all those great players that the Marlins actually had, JT Realmuto? Imagine those teams down in Miami. But having said that, Miguel certainly being traded away from Miami might have been a blessing, because he's on his way to a Hall of Fame career and will certainly be a first ballot Hall of Famer as well.
No doubt about it. Another guy who's hoping to build a Hall of Fame career certainly has enjoyed facing his old team, Donnie. Freddie Freeman, for the second time in the series versus the Atlanta Braves, homered in his first at-bat of the game. It was ultimately a 3-for-4 day at the dish for Freddie Freeman. His numbers really starting to ratchet up. And the Dodgers, as a whole, continuing to play good baseball. Bigger takeaway from you, the 9-3 start for the Dodgers or the 6-8 start for the Braves?
Yeah, I think we expected everything out of the Dodgers here. Maybe a step back from the Braves, but if I read it correctly, I don't think the Braves have even won a series yet this year. So from World Series champions to not being able to win a series. Now, again, you're a product of your environment, who you play. Maybe you're playing some tougher ball clubs here early in the season, but it's not a surprise that the Dodgers here are 6-1 at Chavez Ravine, 9-3 overall. They're going to do a lot of damage, in particular, as we joked about, like the talent that they have in that 1-9. Well, again, if you're going to get like perfect outings from Gonsolin on the mound, good luck trying to stop the Los Angeles Dodgers the rest of the way. But we anticipated this at this point. The Braves will bounce back. They're too good. That lineup is great. You're going to get Acuna back shortly, one of the better bullpens in baseball. That starting pitching will be fine. They'll be okay. They'll make the playoffs and make a run. But from the Dodgers' perspective, again, really hard to bet against team launch angle.
Yeah. Look, the lineup is loaded, as you said. This is anticipated from this team. I think the thing, again, just to quickly say this, but people who defend them pulling Clayton Kershaw will never not be unbelievably wrong. Tony Gonsolin, 6 innings of work, 1 hit. I can't believe you're going back to this. Yes, I'm going back to this. It's really going to end up being like one of the worst decisions anybody will make all season long. Like, I continue to get Clayton Kershaw is not going to pitch for this team as a starter when we get to the playoffs. Like he's not. And people go, what about the, like, they could have let him finish that game out and then he didn't have to pitch for 4 months and they would have been completely fine. They would have been completely fine. But whatever, we had to save him because he was at 80 pitches in April. All right, yeah, cool, got it, great. Makes no sense. Last one here, Donnie, quickly. The Cleveland Guardians, we said it preseason. There's going to be surprises somewhere in Major League Baseball. Is it that the Cleveland Guardians are actually going to win the AL Central? That feels heavy. That feels heavy. They're 6-5. It's the same record as the White Sox, but a doubleheader sweep of the Southsiders is pretty surprising.
Yeah, how about that? And also 62 runs scored on the season, a run differential for the Guardians of plus 22. You probably would have figured that the Guardians would be like a minus 22 already on the season because of the talent that is devoid of that baseball team. But here they are. It's still early in the month of April. These things will balance themselves out. But you do see the White Sox still there at 6-5 at top of the division along with the Guardians. But overall, I mean, if we're looking at, you know, the Guardians being 6-5, also at the bottom of that division, by the way, the Minnesota Twins 4-8, get it together. A lot of people have much more higher aspirations on the Twins than starting out in the basement here. Good for the Guardians, and enjoy it, Guardians fans, as long as it may last, because it probably won't be much longer.
It's a spot, though, where you win both versus the White Sox. Like, and again, they were favored in both of the games. It's just, that's not what you'd anticipate there. It's really not. We know that this team has the way to find pitching. The offense has been really good. Like Jose Ramirez. Yeah, I mean, you know, Don, sometimes you worry about, like, you give a guy his money and it just falls off. Jose Ramirez is like, I'm actually going to ask for an extension 2 months into this season and get more money because of how good I'm playing right now. The top of this lineup is just playing really, really well. It's impressive stuff right now from Cleveland. Hit a break. We come back and we preview some of the top games on today's baseball board. This is the Early Line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
MLB preview time here, and we'll start this off with the Giants and the Mets as they look to close out this series at Citi Field. Cookie Carrasco and Des Sclafani are your starting pitchers. Another very low total in this series, Donnie, at 7.5. Where, if anywhere, is the juice in this game?
I got to tell you, maybe we can start flipping the switch, at least we hope to today, because the weather and the temperatures in the Northeast slowly starting to rise, and quite frankly, they have to here in late April. It can't be any worse than what we've seen over the past week and a half. But also, keep in mind here, at Citi Field today, 15-mile-an-hour winds blowing dead out with about a 58-degree first pitch. So not bad here. Get the baseballs in the air. Now, if we take a look here at the lineups, particularly with the New York Mets and how we anticipate they would match up against Anthony DeSclafani, an XFIP on the season here, Kevin, of a 4.37. But also, right-handed batters have done some damage here against DeSclafani on the season. A 388 weighted on-base percentage and an ISO power number, about average, 0.174. Now, if we take a look at the San Francisco Giants hitters, and you're right, Carrasco has actually been very good this year at 3.65 XFIP number, but he's been great against lefties and righties. A 179 weighted on-base percentage, Kevin, to lefties, a 193 to righties, so handling his business. But the one thing that I do like here, and the reason that I bring this up, Carrasco threw how many batters? 39 batters this year. He struck out 33% of those batters. So roughly a third of the batters that he's faced, they aren't putting the ball in play. But here's the reason why I like the San Francisco Giants as well today. Look at the K percentages here. Anything less than 20% of your at-bats that you strike out in Major League Baseball is very good for the current Major League Baseball system. Yastrzemski under 20%. Belt under 20%. Peterson under 20%. Crawford, Flores, and Estrada all under 20%. So if you're putting the ball in play today with the winds blowing out 15 miles or so dead to center field, I actually like an over here where I like the under in the game yesterday. So let's press the lever down, see if you can make some money in this one. Why don't we go over today? Early start, 1 o'clock, winds blowing out. Get the 8 runs today between the Mets and the Giants.
Maybe sprinkle a couple of home run spots there then in this game. Pete Alonso is plus 385. You've got a guy like Jock Peterson at plus 490. Francisco Lindor has a couple of good numbers versus Desclafani, which includes two home runs. His number for this game is plus 520. So perhaps some offense will show up today in that early game there. We'll move it over, Donnie, towards that White Sox-Guardians matchup here because it feels like a lot of people are going to want to come back to the White Sox. They're a minus 148 favorite. Their total's an 8. The, you know, concept of due, we know, can try and apply in Major League Baseball. It's Cease and Plesac as your respective starters here. When you line this up, maybe some value on the home dog?
Could be value on the home dog here. And if we take a look at the game here again, it's almost similar conditions that you're going to find at Citi Field. Wind blowing out to right field here. It looks like at about 15 miles an hour and in that mid-50s range. But let's take a look here. And this is very disappointing so far early season for the Chicago White Sox, who are my pick to win the division, a very chalky favorite, and rightfully so. Plesac's going to be on the mound today for the Cleveland Guardians, a 5.08 xFIP number, which isn't very good. And also, lefties have done a lot of damage against Plesac. But the problem is, this year, you're not going to see a ton of lefty bats here in the lineup for the Chicago White Sox. Looks like from a switch hitting spot, Grandal will be there, Sheets will be there, maybe Garcia. It's only 3 batters out of 9 eligible batters here that you're going to have facing from the left-hand side. So maybe get a little bit of an advantage here for the Guardians. But the really side that you want to focus on are the bats here overall from the Chicago White Sox. Typically, it's supposed to be murderers. Well, these guys get after here. They haven't been able to do that yet, just against right-handed pitching. Now, we know typically when you want to say, I'm really going to zero in on the White Sox, why don't you take them against a left-handed pitcher? But obviously today it is a righty, and they haven't gotten out of their own way. Anderson, a 256 weighted on base percentage. Robert, a 194. Abreu, 290. Grandal, 208. Jimenez, 181, and on and on and on and down this list here. They haven't woken up yet, so maybe you just keep on taking the Guardians until the White Sox wake up and realize, hey, we're the best team in this division, and we're going to start to show it here by about midsummer.
Yeah, it. You would think the White Sox obviously have a chance to bounce back here, but the Guardians have just—they've been really, really solid. It's been good stuff for both of these pitchers to start the season. We always talk about it as well. When you're in division, you've got a lot more history to go off of if you like to kind of get after it in that way. You could kind of go a involve both team hitter prop parlay on a Louis Robert Ahmed Rosario special, which is a plus 101 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook if you're interested in a spot like that. Jays Red Sox, Donnie, I'm glad that we're going to talk about this one because this has been a bizarre series to watch, to be honest with you. The opening game of the series finishes 2-1 in the favor of the Boston Red Sox. We mentioned 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position through 4 innings of that game. No ability to cash in. Then yesterday, you have 6 runs plated through the first 3 half innings. It was 5-1 Toronto. Game ends 6-1. The totals are you would usually say to yourself, oh, these two offenses, let's line it up and knock it down. It's not worked. And I think, Donnie, I might even argue to you the best pitching matchup is taking place so far in this series with Gausman and Houck. I'm seeing a 9, and I almost now want to overreact and say, give me under with the way this series is played, but maybe I'm off base. What are you seeing here in this AL East matchup?
Always hard in Boston, and this may be a common theme for today where we were just, you know, laughing at some of the weather conditions earlier in the week. What do you mean? 40 degrees, wind blowing in 20 miles an hour. But now we're seeing close to 60 degrees here. Whenever you're looking at that in Boston, where is the wind blowing in that smaller ballpark? Blowing dead out as well, between 10 to 15 miles an hour. So that's certainly going to have an impact on this game. But I think you're right. If we take a look and try to just line up the Boston hitters against Kevin Gausman, Gausman's been great this year. A 2.44 xFIP number, striking out 31% of the batters he's faced. And the best part about this, Kevin, 45 batters that Gausman has gone up against, neither one of those batters has received a free pass in the way of a walk. So he's making you earn it. And also, if you take a look at weighted on base average to lefties, with Gausman being a right-handed pitcher, that's a 304 to righties, a 271. But more importantly, what are they doing with those at bats here, Kevin? ISO power numbers, are they driving baseballs into the stands, into the gaps? Not the case here. Lefties, a 0 ISO power number versus Gausman so far here early in 2022, and a 0.08 .080 to righties. So this game does lend itself to an under, but this is the ultimate ballpark. It's almost like Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. Wind blowing out, smaller ballpark, non-freezing temperatures. Typically, you can get away with a couple mistake pitches, but eventually they'll catch up to you. But if I'm looking from a betting perspective, I think the better pitcher today is on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. So that's the way I would lean in this one.
Yeah, so the one other spot to take a look at, though, and we know people love their first inning bets, how you cap these and break them down. Some people vary on. For me, it's all about the pitchers. Hauk, two clean innings to open up his season. Gausman, two clean first innings to open up his season. And where that gets interesting is it's a -102 for under that half run on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. And that, of course, you can kind of gravitate towards, despite the fact that it's, I got to tell you, it is hard, Donnie, right? Because these guys come up, it's Devers, Bogarts, Vladdy Jr., yeah. Bobichet. You're like, my goodness gracious. But both of these guys have been good in the first inning. And you might not see George Springer in this game, who was hit on the hand with a baseball last night. And maybe that carries over and he's unavailable for this one. Definitely enough time, Donnie, to bring up at least one more game. How about Rangers-Mariners? Late night spot here, the latest game. It'll almost be semi-standalone, really, starting 2 hours after the next closest game here down in Seattle, or up in Seattle, I should say. -140 range on the Mariners. Another total that checks in at an 8. We're in the AL West for this one, DRS. Where's it looking?
Yeah, let's start to turn the tide here maybe with some overs, because you have two lefties on the mound that, quite frankly, can't get out right-handed batters, which is usually a perfect situation because most teams have the ability to stack right-handed batters against lefty pitchers. Talking about Marco Gonzalez here, the tumbling lefty, almost like a younger version of Rich Hill. He's got a 4.58 xFIP number on the season, done very well against lefties, but he's gotten hammered against right-handed batters. 31 batters that he faced this year, Kevin, from the right-hand side, a weighted on-base percentage of a .434 and an ISO power number of .357. If we flip it over to Seattle, Hearn's on the mound. He's a very good xFIP this year, though, however. 2.55 because he's dominated left-handed bats, but a little bit leaky, Kevin, on his 30 at-bats against right-handed batters at a .450 weighted on-base percentage. So if we're looking at an 8 number, and I know, playing in Seattle, it's one of the better pitcher ballparks in Major League Baseball, but maybe we can start turning that around here tonight because you're going to stack right-handed bats and get after both of these guys, each one of them susceptible to right-handed bats. So let's lean towards an over in this one and start that over trend as we head towards May here, Kevin.
And that, perhaps, though, you can then start to try and look, Donnie, at some of these, you know, hitter prop, right, parlays and different things. And there's actually one that you could justifiably play tonight, again, based on historic numbers versus these guys, that offers up, you know, more plus money than we're usually looking at. Like, a lot of times, right, Donnie, Bogarts, Bobichet, you know, and you're hoping you can maybe get a plus 100, right? J.P. Crawford is 7 of 12 in his at-bats versus Taylor Hearn. Charlie Culberson is 6 for 11 in his at-bats versus Marco Gonzalez. Those are strong numbers, and a hitter prop parlay is plus 146. I will also let you know, both of those guys have a lot of, you know, have had extra base hits versus those two pitchers. So if you're willing to turn it up, J.P. Crawford, 2-plus bags, plus 160. Culberson is plus 175 for 2-plus bases. I've done this before. If you really trust it, if you play the hitter prop parlay and both guys for 2-plus bases, if you hit your hitter prop parlay, you are very likely going to get at least one of them to get you an extra base hit, a couple of singles, and 2-plus bases. 2-1, all at essentially plus 150 or better in this game here tonight is a really, really fun look for some late action. We hit a break. We come back. It's NBA playoff preview time here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's keep this party rocking here, Donnie. It's Timberwolves Grizzlies. So I will say this quickly. I thought yesterday, right, with our first game 3, was the perfect kind of warning sign as we head into three game threes today of home court does matter. These teams are going to be able to make things a little bit better. The Raptors, you know, I don't want to tell you they should have won the game. They were up big in the game. They're going to feel like they should have won the game. And the game went to overtime, right? By far, Donnie, the most competitive game of the series. So, and maybe this apply. This definitely is going to apply a lot more to the Golden State game than here in Memphis. But, you know, just don't think, minus two. I mean, they can't lose the game. You know, let's just be a little careful with kind of those assumptions here now that we're playing this game in Minnesota. But what do you think here, Donnie? It is a two-point line. Money line of minus 126 is palatable if you really like Memphis here tonight. Total 236.5. How do we feel? Game number three.
Yeah, zigzag theory here in the NBA, right? Opening night. Oh, my goodness here. Minnesota Timberwolves are here to stay. Could they upset the Memphis Grizzlies by game two? Yep, nah, they're not going to upset anybody because Memphis seemingly took control. But it is hard to win games on opposing floors in the playoffs. And we'll see if that holds true because you might be looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves taking a 2-1 series lead, which not many people thought that would actually happen just a few short days ago. But if we're looking at this game, just the way it sets up here and what the line sits at the FanDuel Sportsbook, I think it's a nice price here on the Memphis Grizzlies at a minus two. Still saying, okay, we respect them as the favorite here, but not a runaway number where it's like minus 4.5 or minus 5, as if it probably would have been is if you saw a 2-0 sweep there in Memphis, but we didn't. But I do think you're getting a discount here. I think the better team overall, obviously, is the Grizzlies. Can they still win this in five games? Yes, they can. Do I think it's probably going to go six? Probably so. But if I'm looking at right at this price right here, I think Memphis righted the ship here. Ja Morant has his legs under him here now in the playoffs. They should be able to go into Minnesota, and I don't think they have any issues here beating the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'll take the Grizzlies here, minus two over the Wolves at home.
I think the side is a little difficult. The total catches my eye, though, Donnie, at 236 and a half. My initial read was stay under the number. When we said under game two, 240 too high, it was. They've now come back down to 236 and a half. I think there's a world that the book is almost chasing their tail on the, or, but see, the thing is, again, we say the book's going to adjust based on the bets. So the gambler maybe is going to chase their tail here. Game number one, ooh, I like under. Psh, wow, crazy. All right, boom, I like over. Oh, boom. Okay, now I like under, right? Here is the spot, though, Donnie, I think, to back over. 57 and a half in the first quarter. Six games this year between these two teams. 4-2, well above that number. Actually, Donnie, it's 4-2 to get to 60+. So here's something you can do if you're really willing, because I do not mind it. You can ladder bet this first quarter and go 57.5, 58.5, 9, 60, 61. And you can start to structure the units accordingly, Donnie. But this, you know, to get over 65 and a half, right? That might sound ridiculous. Is 5-1. They have done that plenty of times, though, in their meetings. If you look in the first game, we got into the 70s, 74 points in that first quarter. And then in game number two, we landed at bang 65. So again, Donnie, you go, you know, 62 and a half and kind of, you know, beyond. I think that kind of way to play tonight's game is where I'm interested here in Memphis, Minnesota.
Yeah, it could be the right way to go because, again, we have a high posted total, and sometimes you like to buck that trend in the NBA playoffs and say, well, you just need one bad quarter or something to go wrong, and you'll cash that under. But you also have two teams that like to get after it and get up and down the court. Here's one interesting point, too, because if we take a look at Ja Morant, who had a great game last game, right? 23 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds, one rebound short of a triple-double. But if we're looking at the Ja Morant, you know, market tonight, I like to go to player props here, and particularly with points. But I got to tell you, when I see here at the FanDuel Sportsbook and I see Ja Morant lined up at over 29 and a half at a minus 110 price, my immediate response is young kid on the road, playoff atmosphere. I mean, he can rise up and play extremely well, but to get into the 30s, that's a pretty tall task to have, particularly not being in the comforts of your home building. So my first look here, even though this total is high and they should score, is probably Ja Morant to go under the 29 and a half. And then if you take a look at some of the other bigger options in the game on the opposite side, Carl Anthony Towns, 25 and a half, Anthony Edwards at 24 and a half. And I know you brought up this point here with Carl Anthony Towns. about time you step your game up, right? What's a better time to do it? 1-1 series price here against a higher-seeded two team here in the Memphis Grizzlies to do it at home and say, okay, I'm not messing around here in foul trouble. I'm not shooting seven times in this game. Put the game on my back and watch me win it here. So I expect a big performance out of Karl Anthony Towns. So that 25.5 to the over should be in play tonight. If it's not, Kevin, and we get another game where, let's just even say the Timberwolves can pull this out, or maybe the Timberwolves lose close, and you have Karl Anthony Towns at 16 points. That can't happen. I think he has a big performance tonight. So I'm going to fade Ja Morant and say he stays under 30 points, but also plus on Karl Anthony Towns, figuring he gets close to 30 points tonight.
Totally reasonable. Totally. Again, back in Minnesota, the anticipation should be there. Utah, Dallas. Here's the thing. A little tough on Donnie and I this morning to give you specifics here because we don't know if Luka's going to play. There is not a single Dallas Maverick prop posted right now, and who could blame the book? How am I posting Jalen Brunson numbers if I don't know whether or not Luka Doncic returns? There is a level of optimism here tonight. So I think, Don, the way for you and I to discuss this is less, here's what's going to happen. How are you betting this based on what we know? Am I grabbing 7 with the Mavericks now? Luka's in, it's 4. Am I laying 7?
Yeah.
Luka's out, it's 10 total. How do you touch this one?
Yeah, here's if I'm looking at it right now. You know, Utah Jazz -7 in this game as it stands. I think that is the true line based on Luka Doncic not playing in this game.
Okay.
So if we find out later in the afternoon Luka Doncic is not playing, you might get some movement. And I'm talking about some movement being 7, Kevin, to 7.5 to maybe 8 at that point, where people are just still sitting on the fence waiting to see that official word. But if Luka Doncic is playing, Kevin, I think you're right. I think that 7 does go to like a 4 at this point here, even though we know you're not getting Luka Doncic MVP level guy back right away, you know, from game 3, where it's like he hasn't missed a beat and on my points, rebounds, and assist prop is going to be 51.5. That's not going to be the case here. Whatever you get out of Luka Doncic, if he plays, is a plus, and maybe just for a psychological boost for your team, like, hey, my guy's back out on the court. Boy, this feels nice. Let's see what he's got tonight. But that's the way I would read it right now. If you're waiting and you're saying for a Dallas Mavericks backer and you say, I think Luka's playing tonight, you take the 7 right now because that number is only going to decrease. But the same factor is for the Utah Jazz. If you think Luka Doncic is going to play, hold off here. Because, again, this is one of those factors where if Luka comes back and plays, I doubt, Kevin, it's for 35 minutes and he's all-star level caliber here. I think he's going to show some rust here. So that's the way I would play it out.
Yeah, so I think if you're betting it right now, you're taking the 7 points because they were close to covering. We're talking late free throw game in game number 1. Win outright game number 2, no Luka. He comes back. You think at the minimum, even if you're like, could he throw things off? Your 7 is going to go down. I think that's the way you're looking at it here. I think Luka equals under. I think it's a super, super slow-paced game. If the Don is out there, I think you're very cautious on his props tonight. I know they're, you know, if you're willing to kind of do the Donnie and bet the unders, good on you. I'd be hesitating, but I can't be lining up overs tonight. I couldn't. The one thing I could give you tonight, Donnie, is, you know, a little Barry Horowitz of it. I told you so. But, I mean, look, you saw this coming as well. The Donovan Mitchell player props. We knew this was going to happen. They start, 26.5. Nope. Oh, okay, fine. We'll move it to 27.5. Nope. He shoots it 30 times a game when we get to the playoffs. And now the number is 29.5. Here is the thing about that, Donnie. 32 and 34 in the first two games. His efficiency has been non-existent in this series. Donnie, you can actually give back some of these shots. If he heats up, he's going to score 40. Donnie, he's shooting terribly in this series. I think you're still playing Donovan Mitchell overs here tonight.
Yes, and I think that's the correct way to actually play this year. I want to see how Dallas comes up because we had a kitchen sink game, Kevin, right, where we had to use everything in our power and get monster performances with secondary options to win that game. Now you go on the road. Is it a deflating scenario for the Dallas Mavericks now that they go, save the series. Now we don't have to worry about game three as if it's not just as important as game two was. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and particularly in that first quarter. A lot of people like to take the first quarter for the home team in that first playoff game because you get the juice from the crowd. You're ready to go. Everybody's energized, and it does make some sense. But you'll know the mettle of these Dallas Mavericks players if Luka Doncic does not play tonight and they can stay within that seven and keep it competitive. That'll show me a lot, because if Luka's coming back to a team that's like, hey, we held down the fort, now let's get our superstar back, that could be an added advantage late in the series.
Yeah, certainly so. Closing out, Don, here, Denver catches two in their own building versus the Golden State Warriors. The total for this one right now is 223.5. Just a little note, White, first two games have gone over the listed total. And Denver is 5-2 to the over as a home dog on the season. Yesterday was actually triple under, despite an outright win by the Bulls, despite an overtime game in Philly. So we, you know, postseason still tough on overbackers, Donnie. I look at this spot here tonight, and before I was checking on the side, I said, man, what are they doing with these Jokic numbers, man? I said, we're gonna get a discount here, Donnie, on Nikola Jokic. Not even close. 30.5 for a points prop. 14.5 for a rebounds prop. Points, rebounds, and assists is 51.5. Are you touching Joker props here tonight?
It's very hard to do that because, you know, when we were in the regular season, and I used a lot of my wear here on just saying, well, I'm going to take Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic props each and every night because they know they're battling for the MVP. The MVP has already been voted on, but these guys still have a lot of pride. And if you're Nikola Jokic sitting at home going, man, we're getting smoked out here and I'm not performing all that well. I'm supposed to be the MVP. Don't I show up, Kevin, on my home court in game three here to salvage the series and tell people, like, we're not just going away. The season wasn't about me winning MVP in the regular season and then getting faded once we immediately got to the playoffs. Now, having said that, I think Golden State is the better overall team. But 30.5 is a – because you can still have a great game. Like, Nikola Jokic get 27 points, 18 rebounds, and 13 assists. I'm like, man, he's doing it all here tonight. But it always seems like the MO to beat the Nuggets here is just sit back and lay in the cut. Let Nikola Jokic do whatever it is. We'll collapse down on Will Barton, Aaron Gordon. You know, nobody else is going to get around there, and he gets what he gets. But 30.5 is a high number here. I'm under that Ja Morant train here where it's like, okay, can they get to 30? Can he score 40? Sure he can. But I might be fade on that fade trade here for Nikola Jokic. Say he stays under that 30.5 point number.
Yeah, it's just it's hard because of how good of a job Draymond has done. The one thing I will say, now he is – not made two threes in 11 straight games going back to the regular season, but he's 0 for 4 and 0 for 4, and you're nearly at 2 to 1 for him to make two threes. It's a big price. I'm a little interested in that. Here's the other note. No pool props, no Steph Curry props, because we don't know if the best player on the Warriors is going to start. This is a little too gimmicky for me at this point. Put Steph Curry in the starting lineup. If Jordan Poole doesn't want to play, too bad. You will be fine. Listen up. The most anticipated one in the history of the early line is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day right here for the early line, SiriusXM channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, as always, carrying you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens. Typically, we talk a lot about Major League Baseball right now, the NBA playoffs in full swing, but Jay Wright walking away from college basketball. Yeah, I got a take for this one. Listen up. Love Jay Wright. Great coach. 21 seasons at Villanova, a couple NCAA championships, always doing it the right way and looking very dapper on the sideline. So yesterday came as quite a surprise here that Jay Wright was going to hang it up, and now we're going to have a succession plan here. It looks like Fordham's Kyle Neptune is going to take over. we wish Jay the best. He says, you know, it's not about coaching anymore. I'm 60 years old. I want to spend some time with my wife and kids and ride off into the sunset, which he has every reason to do. But the narrative came up, hey, Jay Wright did it the right way. Coach K did it the wrong way. You know, Jay Wright wasn't going to have a one-year tour of going around the league and, you know, his, you know, Big East, and everybody could say goodbye to him. That's the lowly way to do it. Yeah, like Kobe Bryant did. You guys complained about that? Where Kobe had a way to go around the league. How about in Philadelphia when Dr. J went out and got presents from every single organization? Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. That's the way you're supposed to go out. Why? Ask any Villanova fan right now. If Jay Wright announced today that he was going to retire but give it one more season so he could be in front of his fans and get that final adulation, say goodbye to everybody basically with each and every game passing here, that's the way you do it here. And also, how about your recruits? Where I think April 13th was signing day. Did you tell all your recruits that you weren't going to be around anymore at that point? I don't think so, Jay Wright. So at this time, Coach K, for me, did it absolutely the right way. Got to say goodbye to everybody, past players, future players coming into the building. The Cameron Indoor Stadium, rousing ovations every night just to say it was gone and we knew it was final. The fact that Jay Wright said, in the middle of the night, I'm up and out of here, is a little bit to be desired. Let your fans, let them say goodbye to you. Have one more season here. Ride out in style. Yeah, just the way it is here. But you know where you can ride out in style? Penn Stevens in the Morning After coming up right now.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.